哈利路亚，奉主耶稣圣名，我们早上来查看啊，圣经里头的、有关窗户的记载。
Hallelujah, in the name of Lord Jesus, we'll begin the session. And first of all, I'd like to study some of the windows mentioned in the Bible.
窗是我们住家一个很重要的、一个装饰或者是实用的用品。
A window is a decoration in the house or a very useful thing.
从实用的观点来看，一个家庭或者一个人家不可没有这个窗。
Since a window is useful, a house is not a house without it.
因为它是透光的地方。
A window is where the light shines in.
是我们从里头向外观望跟外界一个连接的地方。
There's also an opening where we can see outside of the house.
当你描写一个家里头窗明几净，就是说窗擦得很干净，里头的摆设很整齐。
Wherever you describe a house, the windows are clean and everything inside the house is tidy and neat.
那你会觉得这个家庭很舒适。
You feel this is a very homey feeling, a cozy
feeling. 那我们要是到欧洲爱花的国度，比如说瑞士和德国。
If you were to go to European countries where there are a lot of flowers, like Germany or Switzerland,
就可以看到他们窗的外头摆满了花和盆景，让红色的、粉红色的、白色、黄色的花就在窗外摆设着，很整齐，很吸引人。
You see that a lot of houses have flower pots outside the window panels, and they're neatly placed.
甚至他们窗前也很好的装饰。
They even have some decorations on the window.
所以游客或者过路人就觉得这些家庭真的是很注重这种花道。
Many of the tourists who pass by these houses will know that the owners.
所以窗、
like gardening.
才从刚才说的实用或从装饰来说对人家来讲都是很重要的。
Whether it's for decorating purposes or practical purposes, windows are important.
那说再说夜间吧。
Let's talk about night.
当你需要把内外分开的时候，你把窗一关。
When you're trying to differentiate between outside and inside, you close the window.
你点上电灯或油灯。
You turn on your light or lamp.
那你在灯下做活或者读书用功。
And you can do your work by the light.
所以有时候你走在夜晚的街道上头。
Sometimes we're walking by along a dark street.
你看到在上头天上有一片月。
You see that above your head there's a moon.
再看窗里头透着亮光。
You see light shining through the window.
那你就会想起，也许你会自己做一首诗。
Perhaps you would make a poem.
你就说长安或者台湾一片月，万户读书声。
You say that there is a moon over your head and there are many students studying in the houses.
因为你看到窗。露出了很多的灯光。
Because you see the light shining through the windows.
所以这种感受就说窗不可没，因为这是一个诗意的或者实用的一种感受。
You know the windows are necessary for a variety of purposes.
但是呢，我们再严谨地查考这个窗的功用。
Let's study the purpose of a window.
再从圣经有关内在的人格的发散。Inner personality projection.
We can study from the inner personality of a person.
那你就觉得这个内外有一个很重要的通道。
You see, there is a path between inside and outside.
就是说从个人来讲，就是你眼睛或者你的思想。
Personally, it's either your thinking.
因为它是反射着你内在的这种思想以后到外头去。
Your thinking reflects what you're thinking inside and to the outside world.
所以主是说，你们的眼睛是全身的亮光。
Therefore, God.Says the window is the light of your life.
是全人格的反应。
It reflects your personality.
这是我们从个人讲，我们有一个窗，因为在我们眼睛是灵魂之窗。
So individually speaking, we all have a window which are our eyes.
你从外头吸线光，吸收光线，把一切的外在事物就吸到里头来。
Light shines into your eyes, so you will be able to see what is in the outside world.
然后你再投射内在的思想。
And then,
成为外在的行为。
This light is reflected and reflected. This light reflects your.
所以说这个眼睛是一个很重要的媒介桥梁。
Therefore, the eyes is a very important bridge between you and the outside world.
那我们再把它放大来看，我们有窗，有每个人户，人家窗户都有一个窗。
Let's talk in a broader sense that every household has a window.
那这从这个窗的具体数来看，也是一个很重要的一个媒介或桥梁。
This window is also a very important bridge.
那我们今天早上是要查考的，就是圣经所说的这个窗是实际上的窗。
And this window that we're going to discuss this morning is an actual window.
但是它同时也反映着我们内在的窗户啊，跟外在的外界的关系。
This, at the same time, also reflects our inner window to the outside world.
换句话说，你内在的人格和内在的存在跟外在的神、外在的世界的交互关系。
In other words, it's an exchange medium between your inside being and the outside world.
用这样的观点来看圣经所记的几个窗户。
We use this point of view to study the window in the Bible.
我们需要查考的就是所有的窗户都跟我们的信仰有关系。
All the windows have closely ties into our faith.
就是说从窗户你可以学习到跟神的关系。
From windows, we can learn our relationship with God.
那从这个窗户，你可以把自己定位在跟神关系的什么程度
？And with windows, we can state where we are in our relationship with God.
用这样的了解，就知道说圣经的窗除了刚才说的比较次要的装饰，或者更重要的这个实用。
Therefore, from here, we can understand the less importance of window for decorating purposes and the more important ones as a practical use.
但是跟我们信仰更有关系了。
And this ties in closely to our faith.
我们来先看挪亚方舟那个透光处。
Let's first study the window in the Ark of Noah.
那当然这是把我们带回到远古时期。
And this brings us back to the old days.
神的儿子们看到人的女子们的美貌，就决定用私意来迎娶。
The sons of God saw that the daughters of men are fair, and they took them as wives.
那人就属于血气了。
And humans began to belong to flesh.
这是灵性的堕落。
This is a fall of a spirit.
因为属神的人就从赛特的后裔开始，应该是求告神的名，过着属灵的生活。
These sons of God are descendants of Seth, and they should be leading a very divine life.
但是在属灵生活当中有很大的挑战。
But they are facing a lot of challenges living such a sacred life.
就是第四章、第五章所描写的人类的属物质的文明的昌盛。
This would be the civilization of humans as recorded in chapter 4 and 5.
那既然人就是说专心或是灌注于这种属肉的甚至说连属神的儿女们都随意挑选、随意来选择这个属世的生活或属世的生活的途径。
The sons of God had already paid more attention to the worldly life than to God.
所以难怪他们的灵性都堕落了。
Then it is quite natural for them to have fallen in spirit.
再加上这个罪恶的世界在神面前，他们思想中日总是恶的。
Add on to that there is evil everywhere in the world, and even their thoughts were evil.
他们手中充满了强暴。
They're full of violence.
这个让神很忧伤。
And this caused grief to God.
那么有先知或者义人，也许在他们当中活着的，但是呢，这个世界不听这个神的声音。
There may be prophets living among them, but no one listened to them.
所以说，神就决定把他所造的人跟一切的活物用洪水来灭绝。
And therefore, God decided to destroy every living creature He made with flood.
那就在这个时候，他选召当时地上的一个义人，叫做挪亚。
And at this point, he called upon a righteous man named Noah.
那我们就来看创世纪第六章。
Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6.
在这黑暗罪恶的世代里头，这个挪亚是让神悦纳的，因为他在神眼前是一个义人。
Noah found favor in the eyes of God in this dark age.
那他就神给他一个使命。
And God gave him a mission.
就说他要造方舟。
And Noah had made an ark.
那同时他要传义道。
At the same time, he had to preach the news of
righteousness. 在神毁灭，在人的尽头来以前，人应该听神号召他们悔改，归到真神这边的信息。
Which means before the end times, these people should listen to Noah to hear the words of God.
所以在造方舟的同时，挪亚传义道。
While making this ark, Noah was also preaching the words of God.
所以这是在当代，挪亚就要兴起。在灭亡毁灭来以前，他要拯救的工作。
And this is the work of Noah before the destruction comes.
所以神要他做方舟。
And God wanted him to make an ark.
这个方舟的造法跟其他的船不一样。
The construction of the ark is different from building a ship.
因为它的形状是方形的。
The shape of this ark is square.
长450英尺。
It's long 450 feet.
宽75英尺。
A wide 75 feet.
高45英尺。
And the height is 45 feet.
就分这样的三层上中下。
And it is divided into 3 levels.
那一切的尺寸按照圣经讲，凡是神所吩咐的，他都照样行了。
Noah did everything according to the command of God.
那这时候神跟挪亚立约。
At this time, God made a covenant with Noah.
在毁灭的时代，你只要跟我来立约，你跟你的妻子、儿女的儿父就是儿子、媳妇都要进入方舟。
But in this dark age, if you make covenant with me, you, your wife, and your sons and daughters-in-law would can enter into the ark.
进入方舟人就可以得到存活。
For those who enter into the ark, they can survive.
所以挪亚也把一些洁净的、不洁净的牲畜，那公公母母的这样带进方舟里头去。
And Noah took with him pairs of animals into the ark.
那么在挪亚刚刚进方舟的时候，神就把这个方舟的门关闭了。
But just when Noah entered into the ark, God closed up the door.
那这时候天就降雨。
At this time, rain fell.
根据圣经描写，天上的窗户都打开了，地上的渊泉都崩裂了。
And here the Bible describes that the fountains of the deep burst forth and windows of the heavens were opened.
所有的这个水泉，所有的雨量都刮着，或者降雨在这个地面上。
Or sorts of water or rain fell onto the earth.
那这是一个这个洪水汹涌，一个很可畏的景象。
And this is a very frightful scene.
从上从下从旁边的风浪或者大水。
From up in the heavens, down from the earth.
那这个情景，我们可以从最近在西雅图所这个的美国西北边所发生的洪水，可以知道它的可怕。
From here we can probably imagine the scene as in the United States west northern west part of the United States during the flood.
那时候洪水一来，豪雨倾注，没有人能够逃避。
When the waters came, the rain poured. Nobody can escape.
尤其是土地的这样崩泄。
Especially when there are avalanches.
整个房子被卷入。
And the water, the houses were being swallowed.
牛畜或者人畜都这样的冲散了。
And all the cattle, humans were being dispersed.
那这种局部的洪水啊，人都畏惧得很厉害。
And we fear such floods.
这更何况就是一个连续的40昼夜的大雨在地上。
And of course, we will also fear the flood or the rain that fell 40 days and nights.
那在这个时候，所有的长船、短船、高船、低船，所有的船都没有办法存活。
This time, all ships or boats would sink.
只有神所命定这个，按照他尺寸造的这个方舟可以存活。
Only the ark that was constructed with God's command was able to float.
那在方舟里头的这个挪亚一家，也一定受了很大的震撼。
And the household of God was a household of Noah was probably shocked.
因为受这个很汹涌的大水
，because
还有惊人的黑暗所包围。
They were being completely surrounded by water and darkness.
所以说他们在里头是就是在这种好像约拿所描写那黑暗中加上汹涌大水中站了战战兢兢的。
And they were in awe in this darkness and also. Surrounded by water.
可是神却在他们方舟上头留有一个透光处。
But God told Noah to make an opening on the top of the ark.
我们看创世纪六章十五节。
Let's read Genesis chapter 6 verse 15.
他说方舟的在十六节，方舟上头要留一个透光处，就等于好像窗户一样，要高一肘方舟门要开在旁边。这个透光处就变成所有密封的方舟里头重要的有一个向上看。跟神好像跟天跟神有交通的地方。
Verse 16, the ark was completely sealed except for the top, where there is a window where people can look out.
所以说这是有相当的象征意义。
So this is there is a meaning in making this roof.
因为挪亚有神的应许说，只要进方舟，你就可以得到存活。
The Lord said to Noah that if you enter into the ark, you will survive.
因为神要跟他同在。
Because God will be with him.
可是你真正的处在洪水很浩浩荡荡的这种。凶猛的情势之下，你会战兢的。
But while you are floating and surrounded by water, you will be in awe.
但是呢，这个透光处就变成人在黑暗中的一线希望啊，
yet,
你还可以仰望真神。
This opening is a thin hope for Noah to look up to God.
所以人要开个透光处，跟神的交通。
Therefore, humans must make an opening to get in touch with God.
因为我们属灵的生活上所遇到的环境，就是这个汹涌的大水、险恶的风浪在我们周遭。
In our life of faith, we are constantly surrounded with great waves and floods.
有时候大的我们人力没有办法抵抗，就好像形势比人强。
Sometimes the forces are so strong we cannot overcome them.
所以这个时候唯一的希望是在从上头来的帮助。
So the only hope we have now is help from above.
我们在绝望当中，在这个恐怖包围里头，我们向上仰望神来的那个安慰跟帮助。
In our hours of despair, we can only look up to God to help us.
所以这个窗，挪亚方舟的窗，就成为我们今天信仰在这个险恶环境当中仰望神的一个重要的那通道。
Therefore, this window is an important pathway for us to get to God. And
难怪诗人们就这样的勉励我们。
No one, this is how the psalmist encouraged us.
我们来看几节圣经。
Let's study some.
请看诗篇57篇。
Psalm 57.
诗篇57篇第一节。
Psalm 57:1.
这里说，神啊，求你怜悯我，怜悯我。因为我的心投靠你，我要投靠你在你的翅膀的荫下，等到灾害过去。这里是在灾害当中，就好像洪水在旁边一样，你这时候唯一的依靠就投靠神。
Here you are in the storms of destruction, and just like in the flood.
那神是怜悯人的神，他会听我们祷告。
Your only hope is God, and God is merciful. He'll listen to our prayers.
他本来就要像大鹰一样，把我们这些小鹰聚集在他的翅膀的荫下。
God will be like an eagle guiding us under his wings.
所以说这是一个勉励我们在灾害当中，不管是信仰的或实质上的灾害围绕的时候，要开窗仰望神。
And here's encouragement for us, whether it's physically or spiritually we are suffering, we should look up to God.
我们再看诗篇121篇。
Let's now turn to Psalms 121.
诗篇121篇。
Psalms 121.
请看第一节。
Verse 1.
我要向山举目，我的帮助从何而来？第二节，
2.
我的帮助从造天地的神而来。当然，这个山就让我们想起以色列的山或神的应许地的神的山。
And these hills remind us of the mountains of God.
这个是指着神的圣地，神的所在地。
This refers to the place where God is, or the holy mountain.
神的眼目所终年在眷顾的地方。
This is where God often watches.
这个山还有一个特定的地方。
This hill can also mean another thing.
也就是说，在犹大山地上的那个神殿的山，锡安山。
It can also mean Mount Zion, where the temple of God is.
就是说，神立为他居所的这个锡安山，圣殿的所在地。
Mount Zion, when God dwells on earth.
所以说你向锡安山神的殿仰望。
When you lift up your eyes to Mount Zion, where the temple of God is, you'll be looking up to God.
你仰望神的律法。
You'll be looking up to the laws of God.
你仰望神那个慈，这恩慈的发光的脸。
You'll be looking up to the compassionate face of God.
你向他仰望。
You'll be looking up to God.
那他的脸转向着你。
His face will turn to you.
那他的手就伸出来，伸出他大能的膀臂在救助你。
He'll stretch out his almighty hand to help you.
这个是旧约时代的这些跟神很密切的人，他们。所发出的心声啊。
And these are some of the voices of those who are close to God.
的确，他们眼睛常常仰望神。
And indeed, they often look up to God.
常常看着神的山的所在地。
They often lift up their eyes to the mountain of God.
因为那他们可以得到帮助。
Because there they shall see help.
不管是在灾害里头。
Whether during times of
calamity. 或在绝望之中。
Or in despair.
神是他们帮助。
God is the help.
这也是我们今天所遇到的同样的情形。
And the same thing will happen to us.
我们要留这个透光处，我们要举目仰望神的怜悯。
We need this opening to look up to God for His mercy.
我们再看新约的哥罗西书三章。
Let's turn to New Testament Colossians chapter 3.
当我们生活在地面上。
We're living on earth.
我们受了危险的包围。
We're surrounded by danger.
这当然包括恶者的有意的加害。
And this, of course, includes the snares of evil.
或者是这个世界的引诱。
Or temptations of this world.
那当然，这世界包括享乐，或者是财富，或者纷争等等的恶事。
This world would include greed, violence, and etc.
但是呢，圣经跟我们说，我们看哥罗西书三章。
Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3.
我们只念第二节。
Verse 2.
就说你们要思念上面的事，不要思念地上的事。 因为你们的生命跟基督一同藏在神里头。第四节，基督是我们的生命。这里我们可以看到，一个基督徒啊，虽然他还在地面上生活
，Even though a Christian still living in this world，
他的眼睛应该往着上面看。
His eyes should be looking up，
因为地面上一切的事情都要过去。
Because all things on earth will pass，
不管是眼目的，然后肉体的情欲
，Whether it's your desires，
或者是今生的骄傲
，or the pride of this life，
都会过去。
Everything will pass。
虽然花草虽很柔美
，Though the flowers are pretty，
但是它会过去的。
But it will wither。
换句话说，虽然人生这些引诱享乐如此如何的美妙，还是会过去的。
Just like these luxurious temptations, they may be wonderful, but they will pass.
只有上面的事才是永恒的，才是得救的依靠。
Only what is above is forever.
所以基督徒应该像挪亚一样的方舟，就是你的方舟要留个透光处。
If a Christian should also have an ark where there's an opening.
神是我们依靠。
And God is our help.
怜悯的主会帮助我们。
Our merciful God will help us.
只要我们把心连着他，就我们的生活仰望他。
As long as we set our heart on Him, our eyes on Him.
好，现在我们看第二个窗子。
Let's study the second window.
这是我们所熟悉的，这个在考验中的信仰中还能屹立不移的人们。
We study those biblical characters who are strong in their faith.
我们来看但以理书第六章。
Turn to Daniel chapter 6.
但以理书第六章，这里记载是大力乌斯，这是波斯王。他统治年间522年到486年。
Here is about the king Darius ruling from 522 to 486 BC.
那他这个时候底下有一个叫但以理这个人当他的一个总长。
And he had a Jew Daniel as his prime minister.
圣经描写这个但以理有美好的灵性。
The Bible described Daniel as a very faithful person.
他跟神保持着常常在祷告中的密切关系。
And very often his prayers you have intimate ties with God.
而且他跟其他的犹太被掳的犹太的少年当中有一个很好的这种励志。
And he has set a very well determination for himself among all the young Jews who have been captured.
他们要保守自己的犹太教所谓的洁净，就是要保守自己。
And Daniel and some of the youths decided to keep themselves clean and pure for their faith.
所以不在王的膳食上，或是在这异邦的生活当中来沾染他们。
And that they would not let the food of the king or their lives.
但更可贵的，他们有一个很好的属灵这种生活中的祷告。
What's more precious is that they have prayer in their lives.
根据犹太人的习惯，他们通常一天有三次的祷告。
According to Jewish custom, the Jews pray three times a day.
再加上清晨和半夜的祷告。
There was a prayer in the morning and in midnight.
这样说来，就早上9点、12点跟下午3点的正常的日间的祷告。
Regular day prayer starts will be at 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 3 o'clock.
那这个时候，圣殿已经被巴比伦王毁灭了。
At this time, the Holy Temple was destroyed by a Babylonian king.
犹太人也有的是被掳了。
Some of the Jews were being captured.
所以这个时候没有政府，没有圣殿。
This time there is no government, there is no temple.
有些人流落在外邦。
Some were in exile.
或徙置在外地里。
Others were being brought into a foreign land.
可是这敬虔人，不管他们居住的多遥远。
But these godly people, no matter how far they're away from their homeland,
他们总是有一个好习惯，就是他们的心挂念着那个圣殿。
They always maintain their habit of setting their heart on God.
那他们祷告的时候，就面向着耶路撒冷的方向。
When they pray, they'll be facing Jerusalem.
这来表示说，他们细念着故国，细念着神的圣殿。
This signifies that they're looking or remembering their own homeland and remembering God.
更勉励他们要立志来复兴信仰。
And this also encourages them to be determined to revive their faith.
那在大力乌下的但以理也是这样的，作为一个虔诚的犹太人的榜样。
And under the reign of Darius, Daniel was also a good example.
但是人会往往因为有美好的灵性，或是很虔诚的生活，周遭的人会想陷害、嫉妒陷害。
But because very often when a person leads a godly life, many people would want to set him up.
只是但以理，你按照圣经看，他没有什么错误过失。
Daniel had never committed any fault or wrong.
因为他忠心办事。
Because he was very faithful to all his work.
在神面前，就是有无愧的良心。
And he has a sound conscience before God.
在人的面前，他没行亏损的事。
And before humans, he had done nothing wrong.
所以既然在这方面找不到把柄, 所以这其他嫉妒他的总长就用他的众将来陷害他。
Since there's nothing wrong with Daniel, the people, there are many people who want to set him up.
所以他们就怂恿这个王, 说我们来立一个法令, 30天以内, 任何国中的人不可向王所规定的这个宗教以外的宗教或神来跪拜。
They wanted the, these people wanted the king to have, to set up an edict that says that in, within 30 days no one can pray to God.
所以王盖了玉玺, 就成了禁令了。
When the king sealed this edict, it became a law.
这是有意针对着但以理说的。
This edict is pointing towards Daniel.
因为犹太人有祷告圣火像，就是说波斯王或其他外邦王所拜的，就是那个假神以外的天地的主来拜。
Because Daniel will only pray to God, to his God, not to the other gods.
那在这种政治压力之下， 丹尼一点畏惧都没有。
Daniel did not fear this political persecution.
所以越有压力， 那个信心越是要操练。
The more persecution he faced, the more training he had in his faith.
信仰立场要更坚定。
And his faith should be firmer.
这也许我们当代， 今代， 说现在可以看到的， 我们在这个地方以外的， 有政治压力的地方的， 我们统领所遭遇的同样情形。
These are also some of the persecutions that our brothers and sisters are facing in other countries.
那丹尼他知道说禁令已经下了，那他照样的还是每天一日三次的双膝跪在神的面前。
Even though Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he still went on his usual ways, down upon his knees.
他向神做祷告感谢，就好像平常一样。
He got down upon his knees and prayed to God and gave thanks.
所以我们来看圣经但以理书六章。
Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6.
第十节,
Verse
丹尼知道这禁令已经盖了玉玺，就到自己家里头，他的楼上的窗户开向耶路撒冷，他一日三次的双膝跪在他神的面前，祷告感谢跟素常一样。Verse
10.
这一节是一个关键语，就是表示说丹尼开着窗户面向着耶路撒冷。 不错，不退他的祷告。This
is a key verse. We see that Daniel still prayed to God and opening his windows and turned toward Jerusalem.
也就是说，在风雨飘荡当中的宁静。
This is the calm in the storm.
在信仰威胁的危机当中的一种屹立不移的一个情操。
In this crisis of faith, he still stands firm and steadfast.
也就是说，在环境要影响他信仰、威胁他信仰生活当中，他把握住神。
In other words, when there's a threat of his surrounding, he still hold on to God.
过着他应该有的虔诚的生活。
Still led a life that he should.
所以他的开窗很重要。
Therefore, his opening the window is important.
因为他代表他没有忘记神，代表他更依靠神。
This shows that he had not forgotten about God, he had relied on God.
他以真神为重。
He sees God as his center.
那他以外表, 从内心来对神表示虔诚。
And he showed his godliness to God with his spirit.
难怪有人就参陈。 就是说来控诉他说，丹以理犯了禁令。
And therefore there were people who had came to the king and told about him.
那他就得受罚。
And he needs to be punished.
结果他被扔在狮子坑里头。
He was being thrown into the den of lions.
心里很明白又很喜爱丹以理王，也不得不就照着他们的要求把丹以理放在狮穴里头。
Even though Darius knew that Daniel was righteous man, but he still needed to put him in the den of lions.
那王一夜没好睡。
All night the king did not sleep well.
第二天大清早的跑到狮子坑旁边，就问说：“神永生神的仆人丹尼，你所侍奉的神救你脱离狮子吗？”
And the next morning the king went to the lion's pit and asked Daniel, "Are you still there?"
他心里知道说神大概不会亏待这个义人。
He probably thought that God will not forsake this righteous man.
果然不错，但你从狮子坑里头下头就说：“我的王啊，神差遣他的使者封住狮子的口。”
Daniel answered, "O king, my God sent his angel and shut up the lion's mouth."
狮子没有伤害我。
The lions have not hurt me.
因为我在神面前无辜。
Because I am found blameless before God.
我在王或其他人面前没有行过亏损的事情。
And I have done no wrong before you, O King.
这给我们一个很好的教训。
This is a lesson to us.
假定我们把狮子, 代表或者预表是魔鬼的话。
If the lion symbolizes Satan.
果然因为圣经也说猴叫的狮子遍地寻找, 那也是把魔鬼描写那可怕的, 吃肉的那个狮子。
in the Bible to describe Satan as roaring lions.
彼得前书1章5节。
In 1 Peter 5:8.
那这个狮子，这是代表魔鬼的话。
If lion would symbolize Satan.
那表示说一个心清守节的人，对神对人没有行亏损的事情的人。
Then a person who is blameless, whether to God or to others, he will not be hurt.
因为他会像《使徒行传》24:16节，保罗说，我在神的面前，在人面前要做到一点，就是心里就是无愧。
It's just like what Paul says in Acts, that he has a clear conscience.
一个人应该在神面前，在人面前良心无愧的话，魔鬼没有办法加害你。
If a person has a clear conscience towards God and towards the fellow human beings, then Satan will not harm him.
所以这一点很重要。
And this is an important point.
因为这个丹尼他心向着耶路撒冷，经常跟神连接在一起。
Because Daniel had set his heart on Jerusalem and on God.
这也勉励我们今天心要纪念着神的家、神的殿。
This tells us today that we must remember the house of God.
我们不管过着虔诚的生活，对神对人无辜无愧。
We pray to God and lead a blameless and clear conscious life.
这是第二个窗子。
This is the second window.
那现在我们来看窗子里头的第三个。
Let's study a third window.
请看《使徒行传》20章。
Let's turn to Acts chapter 20.
《使徒行传》记载保罗他第二天就要离开，所以他那一天傍晚就一直跟门徒们在做特别的聚会。
In Acts chapter 20, Paul was to leave the next day, so the night before, he had a special service with the brothers and sisters.
那这个地点就是土耳其的托罗亚，Troy.
And the venue would be at Asia Minor, Troy.
这个托罗亚在古代，从前有一次希腊跟土耳其在征战，那这个战争的事情就反映在第八世纪一个盲诗人荷马，这希腊诗人所描写的。 有两本史诗 ，epic， 里头的一个就是一个地点，战争的地点。And
Troy is a city where the 8th century writer Homer described a battle between the Greeks and the Turkey.
一个叫伊利亚德，一个叫做 Odyssey.
And in these two epics, one of them.
那这个伊利亚德的故事就是说，为了托罗亚一个很漂亮的女子叫 Helen， 海伦，那就在抢夺之间，土耳其跟希腊就发生战争。
These two epics, one is named Iliad and the other name is Odyssey. And in the Iliad, it describes a battle between the Greeks and the Turkey over a woman named Helen.
托罗亚对当时的已经读过荷马史诗的人来讲，是一个很出名的地方。
For those who have written who have read these two books, you would know Troy.
那在这个地方，保罗传道也跟信徒们很欢喜快乐的聚集。
And here Paul preached the gospel, and he was gathering with the brothers and sisters.
那他第二天就要离开了。The
next day he was leaving.
那信徒们觉得很舍不得，难得就好，我们好好的聚会，好好的把道理讲清楚，我们让我们听完。And
the brothers and sisters doesn't want him to go, so they decided to gather one more time.
所以这是一个很热烈的场面。This
is a very warming place.
这让我想起当年呢，就是说我们第一次大概在筹几年，1980年代到英国。 特别聚会的时候也一样的道理。And
this brought me back to memory in 1980 when I was in England.
就是说他们那边的信徒常常半夜一点到三点，有时候聚会到四点，我们要陪他们到三点，就常常有这样的半夜聚会的情形。They're
often, very often in England, there are services at 2 or 3 in the morning.
他们可以睡到十点，因为他们通常是晚睡晚起，但是他们又要忙一天从。 然后从九点以后就要忙到第二天的晚上，都要半夜了，所以大部分都利用半夜来聚会。Because
the brothers are busy during the day, therefore most of them will be having services at night.
所以夜间是他们特别聚会、特别谈论道理、祷告聚集的好时光。At
night is a good time for them to have a special service or to pray to God.
那保罗在这个托罗亚，他刚好第二天要起行，所以信徒们也抓住这个机会跟他特别来。 听他讲论。And
therefore, Troy, Paul was to leave the next day, so the brothers and sisters used this chance to have a special service.
这时候圣经就特别记载，在窗台一个窗的那个地方，一个年轻人。
Here, The Bible quote said, near a window there is a young man.
我们来看二十章第七节开始。
Let's read chapter 20 verse 7.
七日第一日，我们就包括路加在里头，我们聚集拨扁的时候，保罗因为要次日起行，就跟他们讲论，只是讲到半夜。第八节。
8.
我们聚会的那桌走楼上有好些烛灯烛。第九节。
9.
有一个少年人名叫犹推古，坐在窗台上困倦沉睡。那保罗睡了，讲了多时，少年熟睡了，就从三层楼掉下去。啊，扶他起来已经断气了。我们念这里，大家热烘烘的一团，在追求道理，在认真听保罗的讲论。
Everybody was fervent listening to the sermon of Paul.
那当然，这里有一个教牧学应该注意的事情。
And there is something that pastor should take note.
就说当你众人都围绕在这个事工努力从事投入的时候
，When everybody is attentively in the work.
那有一个人他。就特别坐在灯台，窗台。
There's a person sitting by the window.
那我们推看看，他为什么坐在窗台旁边
？Let's ask ourselves why would he sit by the window?
第一个，也许他想乘凉。哦，这个太热了，就到旁边坐一下吧。
Reason number one, maybe he wanted to cool off.
第二个，也许他漫不经心呐、讲到还好，就在窗台上看看外头的风景，夜景也不错。
Number two, he could be looking outside at the scenery.
第三个，也许他心里有隔离感，人家聚集围绕在保罗的这身边的时候，他远离了。
Third, it could be he was isolated because everyone was gathering around Paul.
这也许他很多心里的一个都可以有可能性。
All these are possible reasons.
那同时呢，假定我们在认真听道的人，也要注意他坐在窗台的危险。
And for those sitting around Paul, they should be noticing that he is sitting by the window. There's some danger.
就说他坐在窗台上，有可能就因为现在也许他太累，会打瞌睡，会掉坠楼。
He might. It's possible this young man was very tired. He could have fallen asleep and fallen off.
旁边人应该注意到有一个坐在危险的窗台那边的一个年轻人，所以要真的要叮咛他，要看住他。
Therefore, there should be some people noticing him that he's sitting by.A window, which is very dangerous.
这是我们在教牧学要注意的一个琐事了。
This is something we should take note when studying pastoral.
那现在我们注意到的这个窗果然不错，在这个时候是就一线的之隔里头是室内的温暖，就为圣工的热切同心合意在听道理。
And this window is a fine line between inside where everybody was listening attentively to Paul.
换句话说，就是信仰的境界。
This could be a line between
那个窗的外围是一个冰冷的世界，外在黑暗的世界。
Whatever is outside the window, it's dark and cold.
你再探头一看，有三楼高。
If you look out, it's three stories high.
就是危险地带。
A dangerous spot.
那人家在聚集热心的时候，在向心着做神的工的时候，却有一个人在那里乘凉。
When everyone was paying attention to Paul doing holy work,
假定他热心听到，努力认真听到，也无可厚非了。
If this person would be listening to Paul, then there's nothing wrong.
只是有一个地方。
But there is one thing.
他没谨慎，没有警惕。
He was not careful.
他虽然说假定他累了，睡着了，掉下去怎么办？他没有这样注意到这个危险性。
He did not know that he was in a dangerous spot. If he fell asleep, he could fall out the window.
也是坐在旁边里面帮他留意的地方，也是别人应该共同注意的。
And the person sitting beside him should have taken note of this.
所以这个窗就变成我们今天灵修的一个境界了。
And this window became a boundary of our.
任何人停留在信仰的边缘，你向内就是可以说看到圣工灵修一个热切的铁的场面了，向外就是一个危险的冷淡的世界。
If you turn in, you'll be coming into a heartwarming place where everybody is working for God. If you turn to the outside,
你要在里头坐靠近一点，或者你不得不坐在这个时候，更要谨慎，你不要冷淡，不要滑跌了。
Outside is a cold and dark world, therefore you should be careful. You should not be close to the outside.
所以说，这个是实际的一个窗。果然，这个人他没有谨慎就沉睡坠楼。
And this is a real window, and therefore the person was not paying attention. He fell asleep and fell out the window.
还好这个保罗他跟他们就看到这个情形，赶快祷告，这个孩子还有气息在他身上，祷告以后他就活过来。
Paul went down to him, prayed, and said there's still life in him.
那大家有惊无险，也归荣耀给神。
There was some danger, but everything was fine.
但是给我们一个课题，也给他们一个课题。
But this is a lesson to us and also to them.
就是刚才所说的，要谨慎啊。
Just what I said, be careful.
你灯台要放在窗台上啊。
Your lamp should be placed on the window.
你的热心要聚集啊。
Your zeal should be gathered.
但是呢，要谨慎，不要滑跌。
You should be careful not to slip.
因为这个信仰本来不是风平浪静的。
Because there is no such thing as a smooth sailing.
你要是在特定地方跟大家一起热心祷告保守，你就留在窗子以内的这个范围。
If you gather with everyone and listen attentively for to a sermon, then you are inside this window.
你绝对抱着是观望，或者说骑楼，或者说以漫不经心，那你就会有危险。
If you're only here to take a look, observe, or just to listen and not paying attention, then you are in danger.
因为这是有沉睡的危险。
Because you're in danger of falling asleep.
那一沉睡就是属灵的沉睡，就有灵性的危机。
Once you sink into deep sleep, this is a crisis in your faith.
我们想到主耶稣在克西马尼园。
We thought of God, Lord Jesus, in
the Garden of Gethsemane. 他很愿意跟他同行的，他三个亲信的门徒跟他来警醒祷告。
He wanted his three disciples to pray for him.
那只是呢，每一次耶稣都很失望，说：“哎呀，你们心灵固然愿意，可是肉体软弱啊。”
But each time he was disappointed, he said, "Your heart is willing, your flesh is weak."
需要耶稣需要他们同心祷告，来热烈祈求神的开路和神的坚固啊，他。这个十字架的道路的时候，这三个门徒竟然昏睡了。
Lord Jesus wanted his three disciples to pray with him so that God could grant him the strength to go through the crucifixion, but the disciples fell asleep.
所以你可以看到，就丢石头一个扔一块石头远的地方，就变成一个窗内一个窗外，一个祷告的内心，一个祷告冷淡的边缘。
So you see a short distance between outside and inside could be a prayer.
所以圣经就跟我们说。
And hence the Bible says,
我们来看以弗所书六章。
Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6.
这一章从十节开始是在描写我们人要在信仰上站立得稳，站立得住。
Starting from verse 10, tells us that we should be steadfast in our faith.
然后呢，要用神全备的军装来佩戴。
And we should be putting on the whole armor of God.
然后呢，用神的道跟圣灵，再加上多方祷告。
With the words of God and the Spirit of God.Plus prayer,
那警醒不倦地
should be always be alert.
那我们就可以看到，我们在灵属灵战争上可以得胜，可以保守自己。
We know that we will be victorious in this battle.
尤其我们看十五节开始。
Let's read verse 15.
十四节开始。
Verse 14.
你站稳了，要用真理当束腰带，用公义当护心镜。再看十五节，用平安当鞋来穿。十六节，用信德和信仰当腾盾牌来灭绝恶者的火箭。十七节，戴上救恩的头盔，拿着圣灵的宝剑和神真理的道。再来十八节，靠着圣灵多方随时祷告祈求，警醒不倦。这就是我们属灵生活的秘诀。
This is a secret of our spiritual life.
在属灵战争生活当中，要穿上神全备武装来得胜，否则的话，我们也会沉睡，我们也会滑跌，也会被魔鬼来灭绝。
While fighting this battle of faith, we should be alert at all times, otherwise we'll be taken over by Satan.
我们再看彼得前书。
Let's turn to First Peter.
彼得前书，我们看第五章，我们看四章，先看四章七节跟八节。
First Peter chapter 4 verses 7 and 8.
彼得前书四章说，七节说，万物的结局尽了，所以你们要谨慎自守，警醒祷告。第八节。
8.
最要紧的是彼此切实相爱。万物结局的确近了。
The end of all things is indeed at hand.
我们应该谨慎自守，警醒祷告，彼此相爱。
We should keep staying sober for our prayers.
因为以下就描写。仇敌魔鬼好像吼叫狮子，遍地游行，寻找软弱的人，可以吞吃的人。
Because what is written following is that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour.
所以，彼得前书四章八节的前一句就说要谨守警醒。
Therefore, in chapter 4 verse 7 says,
在窗台在窗台上的这线就有生死，那么这样的一个很大的挑战在那里。
This line of the window, it is a boundary between life and death.
这也是表明在我们信仰的过程当中，我们常常有这个窗台在我们面前。
And it also tells us in our faith, there's often a window before us.
你要舒适吗？
Do you want comfort?
要乘凉吗？
Do you want to be cool?
要观望吗？
Do you want to look
要
离
心吗？
Do you want to be away from God?
就是离开这个教会，就跟他们不同心，远离教会吗？
Do you want to depart from the church?Far away from the church,
那就是窗外的危险世界了。
Then you'll be facing the dangers outside the window.
所以就要警醒。 要谨慎。
So you should keep alert and careful.
跟其他信徒一样，跟其他同龄一样的热心来聚集在神的周围。
You should be like the other believers, be zeal towards God.
同心祷告，同心听道，同心做工。
To pray together, listen to sermon together, and work together.
愿主带领我们这个三个窗，做我们今天早上的题目，来做灵修的勉励。
May God guide us using these three windows as our mission.
我们留着透光处，仰望神的怜悯，跟神常常交通。
Let us keep an opening so that we can often communicate with God.
我们打开祷告的窗，面向了神，跟神在灵里头连接。不管我们身处多远，跟教会、跟神连接在一起。
Regardless of how far we are from the church or from God, we should always open up a window so that we can pray to God.
我们要警惕，我们要坐在窗台上的危险。
We should keep alert and we should know the dangers sitting by the window.
所以要谨慎、警醒、祷告。
We should be alert, be sober.
彼此相爱，一起来发起热心。
We should pray and love one another.
唱诗。